Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Good morning, Metroplex. In case you did not know, this is Sean, RJ, and Bobby. We are your home of the Dallas Cowboys, and our first show from Oxnard, California will be live on Thursday morning when we fly out Wednesday after the show. And why are we getting different placement? Bobby is not totally late with the fan cam on an empty chair. He is relocated in the studio.
Yeah, I don't like this spot. It puts me that much closer to you to throw crap at me whenever you think I'm getting sassy.
I would think you would like it better, though, because, you know, Sean in that chair, he doesn't have to move to look at you. You're just in his line of sight. Now you're to the side.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be less irritated with you. I'll be more irritated with you.
Yeah, I think you're going to, this is going to be a weird switch for you, because we were just direct eye contact. I'm sitting here because I needed access to a computer. That one over there would not let me log in, so I'm on this one. And the reason I needed access to a computer is I broke mine last night. So, not on purpose. It wasn't like a rage break. This wasn't like when we were talking about video games the other day and how I used to break them.
Or your marriage.
It was, yeah, exactly. When we opened them, that's getting better. We moved one of them out.
7:40.
So I was opening the laptop back up, and the little swivel piece that opens it was off center or jammed or something. And so when I opened it, it pushed up inside and like popped the screen out of the laptop.
So new one needed?
Probably before we leave town. Yeah. Like today or tomorrow, I'm going to have to go buy another one.
So can we... Is this the live version of what I'm looking at here on the camera? Is Bobby on here, Peyton?
Yeah, well, Carter doesn't have a preset for that that spot there. So, Bobby, I think you need to jump over, because Carter's not up right now, and so I don't know how to change it.
Well, so you don't get to be on the fan. I think we wake Carter up and tell him Ryan would have already had it changed. Was messaging Ryan last night. I told him, I said, look, I'm really disappointed that with the Biden news, you're not going to be on the fan cam today. I feel like you would have all sorts of great graphics up for us and other things. And then he specifically said, I'm going to talk to my news producers over here, see if we can get Choppy on for a segment to analyze the Biden news.
Great.
It sounds like momentum is building towards deals for Dak and Lamb. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, reporting the Cowboys have made clear to Dak Prescott privately that they want to extend him. They want to have a contract in place before he hits free agency next spring. However, there's not a lot of progress as of yet. And a little bit of a wrinkle, according to Fowler, he says, you still have Tua in Miami, who needs to get a deal done. You still have Jordan Love in Green Bay, who needs to get a deal done. Dak has the most leverage of those three, so he very well could be waiting for those two to go first. Then he bats cleanup with a huge deal or hitting third, as RJ says.
I don't, yeah.
More important nowadays.
I don't know if Jeremy Fowler knows the what number cleanup is in the order.
And Dak could clean up with a bigger deal that could be a market resetter. My initial reaction, I really don't like you sitting
here. I don't either. This is way too close and tight in general.
We'll log you in there.
My initial reaction is what Tua does isn't going to matter for Dak because he's not going to match or go higher than Lawrence. And I wouldn't think it would happen for Jordan Love either. So
I wouldn't think for Love. I'll tell you this, though. I mean,
really, if there was going to be. Let's do side topic with this. If one who's going to get more money, I might lean towards Jordan Love, as crazy as that sounds, with Tua doing more in the league. Because I think if you took on that ESPN quarterback poll last week, who finished higher between Love and Tua?
Love.
I think people would. Mm-hmm. I think people would project a higher ceiling for Love. I wonder if Love is the. I don't think any are going to match Lawrence, but if one were, I think it might be Love. Is that crazy?
No, I don't think it's crazy. You know, Tua's had, like you said, he's done more in the league. I mean, you could make the case that Tua's had a better career than Trevor Lawrence has at this point.
Yes.
I mean, you can make a case that Lawrence had a better one too, but I think it's fair if you said that Tua's been
his numbers. Higher. Would guarantee or better.
I would absolutely guarantee. So, you could easily make the case that Tua deserves more money than Trevor Lawrence. Now, is he going to get it? You know, what is the... They're paying Trevor Lawrence for the projection. They're not paying him for what he's accomplished.
What do you think, Bob? Do you think either of those two are a factor for Dak? And how would you weigh in with the side topic?
They might be a factor if they... Like, it depends, obviously, how much... Love pushes the market up or different things related to their contract that they do. I think there's enough questions about Tua's contract or what Tua's done and how much is Tua made by his cast. At least there's enough of a national question about that and likely something that Miami kicks around themselves that I think there's a chance Love comes in above Tua because I think Tua's considered as like, you're a guy who's been made by a system and made by a supporting cast. Whereas Jordan Love, we were talking about a couple weeks ago.
No weapons.
You can't name his receivers right off the top of your head. And Tua still has not won a playoff game in 4 years. Jordan Love went on the road and won a playoff game and should have gone on the road and won a second playoff game against the 49ers, if not for what ended up being a comeback.
This does seem like, though, and this is important, if I'm reading it correctly, the Cowboys are letting it be known to Dak, we don't want you to sniff free agency.
Yeah, and, you know, when we heard that Steven had talked about that they had had, he and Jerry had direct conversations with Dak, that to me, we always hear about that happening when they're pushing something over the finish line. Like, it's always like, man, if you get Jerry in a room with this player, he's going to get the deal done. Like, it's just once he gets involved and it's to that point, it gets the deal done. So, to me, I looked at that as there are two different ways you can look at it. They're closer than we think, or, and I wonder if it's this direction, are the Cowboys starting to panic a little bit and realize, crap, we set this timeline up in a really bad way. And now they're having Jerry step in, and they're having to make these assurances of like, dude, we definitely don't want you to get to free agency. I promise we're going to take it. I think it's going to get done just because Dak has seemed more optimistic the last time he spoke publicly. Steven seemed more optimistic. And we get this note from Jeremy Fowler, but all of it collectively tells me I think there's a little bit of panic on Dallas's side saying we're going to lose this and we got to figure out a way to lose it and not lose it so terribly.
Stephen Jones was asked by Diana Rossini, are you confident Dak gets done and is there a deadline?
Well, the answer to that question is we are optimistic that we can get these guys done. I know Dak, our goal is to get him done. And, he knows that we're having conversations and, with his agent, with Dak personally, both Jerry and myself. And he knows our goal is to keep him here. He also understands the challenges. And, you see what happens to teams when you do have these high-priced quarterbacks. At some point, it's a challenge to keep everybody. Obviously, the Chiefs are an example of that, but they were able to, survive not keeping Tyreek Hill and, some other top players. I think they let, one of the top corners in the league go this year, after this season. So, you have to make some tough choices along the way. But we're optimistic that we can do that. And we'll continue to grind away on that. I know, between fans and media, that's your job is to ask when and can you, and what happens if you don't. But you know, our eyes on the ball, and in terms of getting these things done, and we're not thinking about what happens if you don't. We're trying to get the job done.
Brian had an interesting take when we were recording on Friday that he thinks that the Cowboys are, or this is just what he said he'd do anyway. He said if he's the Cowboys, he's sitting down with Dak. The purpose of sitting down with Dak is to say, you win, you've won, you get to win this negotiation. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to lay out for you on a PowerPoint presentation or however we lay this out. We're going to lay out for you that the level that you choose to beat us because you've already won this, here's what your roster is going to look like around you if you choose to beat us to this extent. So we're telling you we will give you what you want. We're going to make it happen, but you need to look and see this is what you lose if you take this route. So we're saying we'll give you whatever, and you get to choose your own adventure. You basically are going to get to pick the team that's around you, but this is the reality of where we're at.
Ooh, careful what you wish for.
Calvin Watkins reports that they are prioritizing Lamb over Dak with the deal. Quote, the good news is they made CD their number one priority. According to a person familiar with the front office's thinking, they're putting Lamb's contract extension talks ahead of Prescott's.
So, okay, real quick on that, on the thing you just mentioned, I was just thinking, if you're Dak's agent, would you not say, well, you have $12 million of cap space right now? You didn't use it anyway, so why would I give you a break? You're not going to use it anyway.
I think that they would make the argument that we're taking roll-ahead cap space because we have to pay your client. Like, that's why that didn't get used. It's because of your client. That's what the Cowboys would say. They'd say, we got deals we got to get done. We need that to roll ahead into 2025 when we got to pay the Piper.
Okay. I mean, maybe that's the case. It probably is. But like, does an agent believe that? Does the player believe that?
Steven was asked by Diana Rossini where things just stand overall. You're going to get a little bit of Dak in this answer, but the other big two, CeeDee, Micah, along with Prescott.
You know, those things just take time when you're talking about the amount of money involved. And, of course, we're trying to a little bit play Houdini and how to keep all these guys around Dak and keep these players we were fortunate enough to draft. And, you know, when you start stacking them up like that, you know, it's a challenge. It's not that it's not doable, but you certainly got to, you know, have some give and take if you want to do that. I know the Vikings there with Jefferson when they, you know, made that inordinate deal at the receiver spot. You know, they don't have one player on their team other than Jefferson making over $20 million. And of course, you know, we got a big one in Dak and we got Diggs right there. And then you got Zach Martin and D-Law. And so we got a lot of guys making, you know, quite a bit of money. And, you know, it's no excuses. We, you know, we think we can get this done. Know we can get it done. But it just takes time.
And look, you may use that excuse term immediately when you hear Steve, I don't care. You can do it. You can finagle the salary cap, switches on, off, just get it done. But it is a very fair point to bring up the number of top-end salaries the Cowboys are going to pay compared to, he compared it to Minnesota. And there's an argument to be, he didn't even mention Diggs, I don't think, in the players being paid. And there's an argument to be made that you should not pay this amount of guys that much money and sacrifice all your depth.
Oh, there's a major argument to be made for that. I mean, we've done this study a number of times.
And the Cowboys have a good yet unique problem to sign all your guys to record-setting deals.
Very good problem, a very unique problem to have. Now, could they alleviate that problem if they wanted to by taking one of those three, those big three, whoever has the most trade value or whatever, and move them before they sign, get yourself a couple of number one picks? Sure, they could do that if they wanted to, or they can go the route they've gone for, you know, basically ever, and pay their own. And yeah, you're going to pay three guys. You're going to pay $160 million, $135 million, and $130 million. So you're going to pay those three guys $125 million. That's going to be half the salary cap. Because if the NFL does have this antitrust lawsuit reach, whatever, $14 billion, they're not going to...
For DirecTV
and the Sunday Ticket. I mean, they're not going to raise the cap at the same rate, right? Not if they take that loss. Unless there's insurance. There's some insurance, but not all.
Yeah, I mean, I would guess there is some level of insurance for those sort of things. But it very easily could be something that the league is able to take and go, huh, look, sorry, guys, we're going to have to take a step back. But look, Goodell has typically been in the business of making sure the owners get as much money as they can, as much revenue as they can. I need to look and see exactly how much money they lost. They estimated they lost when COVID happened. Like, how much money did they lose at the gate and everywhere else, and see if it's comparable to what this lawsuit's going to pay out.
Someone tweeted Micah. First, I thought it was Eric Chiafalo, but no, it was Chet, who said, Micah completely disappears late in the game. He has hands on hips and usually on the sidelines in the fourth. Micah responded with a picture of a scale that read 241.55. And he wrote back, don't worry, I never make the same mistakes twice. I will be ready. No excuses. But we will own the fourth. And then Clarence Hill adding his commentary, Micah has dropped weight, headed into his fourth year, a faster, sleeker lion. How will it impact him handling 330-pound offensive tackles for 17-plus games? And my initial reaction to this was, what was Micah at last year if he's dropping weight to 241?
Yeah, I don't. I had thought, I mean,
did Clarence mess that up to say he's adding weight?
Like, honestly, here's the thing. Whether he's adding or losing weight, I don't. That 241 seems negligible. So he was listed last year at 245.
Oh, okay.
But to me, I mean, like, when he came out in the draft, I think he weighed around 240. So he's been kind of in that fluctuation. It was 246, I guess, when he came out, according to his pro day numbers. But to me, I don't know that I want him, like, getting smaller.
I'm looking at just a quick search. TJ Watt's 251, for example. Like, you know, if Micah's 245, that's not big. If it's a 10-pound difference, okay, it's not nothing.
Let's relive the greatness of Adrian Beltre, who officially went into Cooperstown yesterday. And did you see RJ Choppy picking his nose this weekend? That's next on The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
And the 0-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Got him with a fastball near the top of the zone. Kirby Yates slams the door shut and preserves a 3-2 Ranger win over the Orioles here today. It is a happy house in Arlington.
Pixie with the call on your home for Rangers baseball. They salvage one against Baltimore. Still five games back in the West. But, Bobby, have you made up your mind?
Yep.
Ready to sell.
Selling. Sell it all. I'm surprised.
Sell it all.
All of it. Yeah, get rid of Seager, Wyatt Langford, that bomb. Get rid of all of them. No, I'm surprised that Choppy, your take was hold would be your primary right now. Because I think we were all pretty much in sell mode before they went on that three-game series winning streak.
But minor sell. Minor sell mode.
I'm not. Like, I think if there's a vet, now I'm not saying, again, to sell off Seager or anybody like that, but
Garcia.
Garcia, Tavares, Scherzer, probably Eovaldi, like just anything, veterans that you can, shorter term veterans that you can get a haul for. And not,
but isn't Eovaldi about to hit his escalator for next year?
Yeah, and so that'll be one more year on top of it. But I'm saying, like, I don't know that he's going to be here past that contract. So if you feel like you're not going to retain him past next year, generally, if you've got a year and a half of contract time left, that's also another boost in terms of your value on the market. So I would say, again, find out the market on Eovaldi. It's not like you have to get rid of him. I feel like you have to get rid of Yates and you have to get rid of Robertson.
Yes.
But Eovaldi, just check the temperature of the market. Check the temperature on Nate Lowe. Like you said, Garcia, Tavares, those are the guys that I'm looking at and just trying to say, all right, let me see what I can stockpile for 2025, load up, and go.
I have no problem selling. Okay, I'm just saying, like, the way this roster's constructed, you've got age with Semien, age with Seager, right? They're not out of their prime, but they could see the end of their prime. At least Semien, he could see it.
Semien, yeah, I was going to say, Seager, I don't think so.
But Semien could see the end of his prime. You've got a couple of guys that are coming into their prime. Josh Young's coming into his prime. And then, you know, Langford and Carter will be, you know, progressing, hopefully, as they should. The other issue is that next year, you're going to have Jake DeGrom for, knock on wood, as much as you're going to have Jake DeGrom for. And we don't know what he's going to be. But the point is, the roster is not to the point where you need to have a complete reconstruction.
Right.
So that's why a minor sell is fine. I have no problem with Yates and Robertson. I think you have to do those two guys. If you want to trade Adolis, I've got no problem with that. But if going into next year, I want to have Nate Eovaldi on this team. If you want to compete for a championship, I think you do need to have Nate Eovaldi on this team.
And that's, I agree, that's fine if you want to, if you decide not to move. But I think it would be negligent not to just see what the market is, to reach out, see what would you pay for Eovaldi. Because we were already talking about this whenever we were looking at the projection of when Scherzer, DeGrom, and Malley get back. We were trying to project out and go, okay, well, who's going to the bullpen? Because right now your rotation's been pretty good. You're going to have like two, three guys that you have to move out of the rotation. And obviously Eovaldi is one of your better starters, but if you look at it and say, I can get a really nice return for him. I don't know that he's going to be here past next year anyway. And I've got a decent like amount of depth on my starting rotation. If I can get a decent return for him for a bat, or, you know, a young prospect, then I want to take that. Heaney, that's another one. Lorenzen, These are all guys that you could look at.
Let me give props to him for a second since you brought his name up.
Heaney?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Poor guy.
I went and checked out his game log. Andrew Heaney is not allowed over three earned runs since April.
April 13th.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
He can't buy a win.
He pitched two hit ball over five scoreless yesterday. And he walked three, struck out four, 14 straight starts of allowing three or less. Longest streak of his career. He dropped the ERA from a 6.26 to a 3.60 during that span. Major props to Andrew Heaney.
Yeah, and he is, that's a candidate for selling high.
Yeah.
Yep. This is as good as, I think we've seen him pitch here in Texas for sure.
Yeah, you're not going to get more for him, and you know he's not going to be here long term, I would not think. I mean, he's a good guy to have in your rotation, but there's certainly guys that you want to move on from that you could get things for in return, but I want Nate Eovaldi here next year. They're going to plan to contend next year, and I don't think you want to give up on one of the best postseason pitchers in the game today.
Let's get all up in your feels with Adrian Beltre. Officially becoming a Hall of Famer yesterday, heading into Cooperstown. and his teammates decided to create a special video for Adrian going in.
Hey, Adrian, my brother.
AB.
AB, man, it's Dio.
AB, what's up, man? It's Michael.
Adrian, it's Murph. Man, I'm so proud of you.
We all knew you'd get there. I don't think you ever imagined it or let yourself think it. And it's much deserved. You're incredible to play with and now a Hall of Famer.
My years with you were just incredible. I learned so much from you as a player. I think the best compliment I can give you is that you are probably easily one of the best teammates I've ever had. So I really hope you're enjoying this, man. It's so well deserved. All the guys that play with you are so, so proud to have shared a uniform with you, shared a field with you.
What you did on the field speaks for itself. All the numbers, you know, I think my favorite characteristics were just the character, the grind, you know, playing hurt. Obviously the quirks, the head touching, and you know, you hitting home runs on one knee. And I'm truly impressed by you as a man, as a player, as a teammate. I was thankful to share the field, dugout, clubhouse with you.
You're a great teammate. You were fun to play against. And hopefully I didn't contribute to your Hall of Fame status. I will have to look up the numbers one day. You're being too humble. We all knew you were going to be in the Hall of Fame. You are a Hall of Fame since day one. Thank you for all your advice. Thank you for making me a better player, for being my big brother, my mentor, and to be that guy that I know that I can count on any time, at any moment.
I hope the induction goes well, and I wish you nothing but the best.
Congrats to you and the family, man, and I'll definitely be out there watching.
Congratulations to you, the entire Beltre family, and we're looking forward to celebrating this with you, brother.
Let's have fun, brother. I miss you a lot, and you know, I hope I can get to see you in Cooperstown in that speech. And remember, don't cry, brother. I love you, man. Congrats.
It's good stuff.
I will always. It's one of those where when the Rangers won the World Series last year,
did they?
No, when they won the World Series last year, everybody had talked about like, oh, you're exercising demons and you're coming around, and it's great. And just like in 2011 when the Mavericks won the title, it was great. They exercised the demons of 06. But there's a little bit of that, yeah, but you didn't win with this guy or you didn't win with that guy that'll never be totally covered. And Beltre is one of those guys. The fact that they didn't win it in 2011 with Beltre and he went his entire Rangers career without getting that redemption is something that's still, I think, for a lot of Rangers fans, for me, it bugs you a little bit that they never were able to correct that.
Okay, so that was a video, right? That was a video, not a audio piece. That was a video.
Yeah.
Did Michael Young think he wouldn't recognize him?
What do you mean?
He says, "Hey, AB, Michael Young here."
They asked.
Michael really? They didn't even recognize him?
Ask everyone to intro themselves. This is Beltre yesterday on playing here and playing with his boy next to him.
Thank you to all my teammates in Texas. You guys made me feel welcome since day one, especially Mr. Ranger, Michael Young, Ian Kinsler, Nelson Cruz, Kobe Lewis, Mitch Moreland, Jin Soo Choo, Chirino, Prince, Napoli, all of you, thank you. The things I forgot, but I cannot forget one of my favorite teammates of all time, my compadre, Elvis Andrews. You're a pen in my pain my butt, but I really enjoy playing beside you for so many years. That was so much fun. Even though you want to catch every freaking fly ball just to help you fielding percentage. Unbelievable.
So that was Adrian having some fun yesterday.
Yeah, some of those names that he just rattled off there. I forgot. He, like Chirino. It's like, oh my gosh, forgot about him. You just forget about some of these guys after they're gone for so long.
Michael Young with some quotes as well. He knew Adrian would be in the Hall of Fame pretty early on. As soon as he stepped in the Rangers clubhouse, it was clear. Quote, "You play with somebody, you gain a whole nother level of respect for the way they do it. He's 0 for 3. He doesn't give the fourth one away. Boom. Base hit in the right. Gets momentum into the next day. Those are the little things. He's showing up. Doesn't give anything away, never takes a playoff on defense." All those small things, and you're like, wow, this guy's a really, really special player. Did not take long once we were teammates to see that. When you combine that with the fact he was a big league starter when he was 19, that's a lot of numbers that stack up. Next thing you know, slam dunk, first ballot guy. And I was thinking, it's easy for this dude. The one thing I love, he doesn't just punch in at 7 and punch out. There's certain teammates you play with and you love to play with because they really play to win. When I play with him at 7, when the first pitch goes and the lights come on, he's not just there, he's here to win. When you have a good team and a guy like that that walks in the door before the first game is even played, we just got so much better. So that's Michael Young, not surprisingly, acknowledging someone for their professionalism.
He finished second in MVP in 2004. That was his last year. That was his contract year with LA, right? 48 home runs, led the league. That was at, he was at 25 years old. He did not have another MVP vote until he was 31 in 2010 with the Red Sox. And then basically every year from age 31, not basically, literally every year from 31 to 37, he finished in either the top 7 or the top 15 one year. Every other year was in the top 7. That's crazy. Like it's a really, it is one of the most unique careers that I can remember of a Hall of Famer, because he did not start out. When he came here, it was not, he had no chance of going to the Hall of Fame when he got here. It was like, this is not a Hall of Famer, this is a good player.
And the commissioner admonished the deal.
Bud Selig was like, what are they doing? This is it's a bad contract.
What an unprofessional thing to do.
Well, it's Bud Selig, what do you expect? It's a bad contract. That's what he said, bad contract. It's going to hurt the game. You know, this is a team that doesn't spend money anyway. That has had financial problems ever since they signed A-Rod, and now they're going to give this guy money who has had 2 good years in his career, both of them contract years. That's what he was on. He was on as a contract year player. And he comes here, and he becomes the elder statesman. He becomes a very consistent player. He always had a good glove. But then he consistently, offensively, just took his game to another level.
He was Adrian Haynesworth. That was his reputation. It was the
dumped
dude
on someone.
Well, yeah, I mean, not that, but it was
Albert Haynesworth.
Yeah, it was the contract year guy. But it's just it's makes you feel old, honestly, hearing him talk about some of those teammates. That it's like, man, I just remember they came up to the majors.
If you don't have a superstar winning the golf major, was yesterday the next best thing? And why is this guy getting killed for thinking about vacation early on? That's next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. Did you remember to wake up early to check out the conclusion of the British Open? Sean Shreve, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Bell with you. Xander Schauffele wins another major. The 30-year-old, 2 months after winning his first of the PGA Championship, added a second one yesterday at the 152nd Open Championship. And you said the golf course was the winner, Choppy?
Yeah, the golf course won. The weather of the golf course. The last time they played the British Open at this course, 20 under was the winning score. Minus 20. That was Henrik Stenson. It was not minus 20. It was beyond half that. It was less than half of that. It was 9 under. And it took a 65 on the final day to get there. Second place in 2016 was 17 under. It was 7 under. Here, the golf course definitely won, at least the weather did. Friday and Saturday, the weather was not great. It was not conducive to the scoring. On Saturday, I mean, you had just a treacherous Saturday weather-wise. Rain, high wind. You saw guys hit driver on a par 3 that was like 230 yards. I mean, there were some very, very high scores on Saturday. In fact, almost everybody was in the 70s or higher. I mean, there's a handful of guys that weren't. The guys at the top of the leaderboard did not. And sometimes it's the luck of the draw and when you go out there and when you get to play. But yeah, I thought the golf course was the real victor, and that's not generally great for TV.
What would your either or scenario given sports fans told it was a choice?
So you get to choose one. Like, obviously choosing what we had at the U.S. Open, I think, is the obvious easy one. You have two megastars battling it out until the 18th hole. You had Bryson and Rory. Right, those are big time names in the golf world. Yeah, so both those guys were battling out. That's option one. But short of that, we had 6 guys within 3 strokes on number 9. When the leaders were on number 9, you had 6 guys within 3 strokes. Now, none of them were major names that the casual golf fan really knows.
Yeah.
So you get that, right? 6 guys within 3 strokes. Or you get a mega name at the top of the leaderboard. Scottie Scheffler, Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, whoever. But they've got a 3-stroke lead. There's really no drama down the stretch. Mm. Like, which would you rather have?
Because I have to admit, and my instinct ended up being right about baseball because they went themselves and made a lot of changes. I'm having a golf major crisis right now.
A major championship crisis?
Yes. Now, I think a lot of that could be blamed on myself for checking out like the final six holes versus the first 12.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that, I was like, I forgot. I was like, oh, the British Open
it's
is
a 5-hour round too. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, not gonna watch all of it. But I'm having a Bobby Belt, Kevin Hagelin-esque golf crisis in getting into the majors the way that I did.
Well, it's not Tiger. There's no Tiger. There's no Phil Mickelson for the most part. You know, like that's you. Now, there's big names in the sport. Like, you know, Brooks is a big name, but Brooks has not been in contention basically all year. He has not played great this year at the majors. Of course, obviously, Phil, you know, Rory had a good run at the U.S. Open, but Rory was terrible.
Yeah.
Bryson didn't show up in this thing. Dustin Johnson was not a factor, and he's old. And I think a lot of this has to do with, does it have anything to do with Liv? Does Liv play into this at all?
No.
I don't know. No, does your lack of interest have anything to do with the whole fight between the two?
Nope, not at all. As long as I know the guys are there in the majors, I don't care. But I guess to answer your question, I would battle it out between two big dogs.
Well, yeah.
Versus having six. Well, you're answering like it's a no-brainer. You posed the question.
Well, no. How about one big dog at the top and no contention? Like it was six guys within two or three strokes.
Oh.
Or one guy with a three-stroke lead the entire back nine.
Oh, one guy. Yeah. I'll take the six way. Yeah. I'll take the six way.
Look, I mean, I would have preferred for Scotty to really carry things forward. But obviously, when he three-putted from inside seven and double bogeyed that hole, you know, on the back nine. And look, that's been the usual culprit with Scotty, right? Has been the putter.
Absolutely.
Did this actually happen?
Is he 136th among all players in strokes gained putting and missed
that's
10
amazing.
Tries inside 10 feet?
Why can't you get into it with your obvious sarcastic tone?
You need a, I would honestly
did you
take.
Did you watch when Tiger was on fire?
When he won the Masters, what was that now, 5 years ago, whenever that was, I actually sat and watched golf all day on Sunday for the first time in my life. And that to me is why this sport does need like a dominant presence.
I agree.
If you don't have I'm going to need the guy with the three-stroke lead who also had a three-stroke lead the week before and the week before that. Like that's what's going to be more likely to make me tune in.
They're really trying to push Scheffler because the year he's having is very reminiscent of Tiger Woods. Now, the problem with Scotty is he doesn't win anything but the Masters and regular tour events. Like, he doesn't win British Open and PGA and US Open. He just doesn't win them. But, I mean, he's going to win six Masters on the pace he's on right now. Like, he's on a tremendous Masters pace.
You know, that's kind of an interesting point. Not really truly interesting. Kind of interesting from Bobby.
Ding yourself like three times there.
The sports that have to have a major personality.
Mm-hmm.
And is golf number one? What about boxing? Boxing has to go up there.
Yep.
As well.
UFC is similar.
We're about to find out with the NBA. Like, LeBron's about to retire. Steph is on his way out. Like, they don't have a major personality.
Well, Anthony Edwards is a personality. Joker is not. Luka is not. Tatum can channel five different personalities.
Yeah, he can.
Whoever he watched the night before on YouTube. Who am I missing as next?
I mean,
stars?
The next up, I think that the league wants is Wembanyama. That's who they want to center everything around. Yeah. That's why they honestly. That's probably where that whole Jay Billis, Woj, that whole narrative they pushed of like biggest rookie ever. I mean, he's Kevin Durant on offense, and he's whoever they threw out on defense.
You're right, Wembanyama. Yeah, they've got to win. But yeah, I think golf absolutely needs that because Tiger was not just great. He also was different.
Yeah, he didn't have a great personality.
No, he didn't. But
everything else around him was just so huge.
It was something, though.
That's the Perkins waitress.
Right, I know. He was just something that we had never seen. We never saw golfers.
A dominant black guy? Yeah.
Well, that, but also, like, no, golfers didn't do the fist pumps he did.
Yeah, the emotion.
The emotion. He showed emotion like an athlete shows emotion. He had, it was like,
And you felt like his game was he's going to hit it the farthest. This is a strength and a drive. That's at least what was in my mind. Like, I want to see Tiger Woods drive because this is a new athlete.
Here's a par five. It's 320 yards of the hole, and he's out there hitting a 2-iron, 320. You know, golfers prior to Tiger, when they did something great, they would put their arms up and, like, be, like, happy, excited, And Tiger was like the angry, excited, like athlete. You know how athletes like they get, you know,
break a racket.
Yes. He was like angry, excited. And it was just different. We saw it. We never saw that before. And it was fun to watch. And then obviously he's the greatest golfer I've ever seen in my life. I never saw Jack play in his prime. I was barely alive. So that played into it. And I think they really are trying to make Scheffler, but Scheffler doesn't have the personality.
What was your NBA problem that you kind of brought up last week, an issue that they may have?
Well, the NBA, the problem they have is all their best players are either in small markets or not from the United States. So Wembanyama, Anthony Edwards, Joker, Luka, Giannis. Moving forward, you don't have the superstar in a big market that's from the U.S. I really think that you need, in order to be a superstar in America, that most American sports fans want, they would gravitate more towards somebody from the U.S.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be just difficult. As great as Shohei is, you don't get to know him.
Yeah.
And the same thing, you know, with Luka. I mean, he doesn't play for your country in the Olympics, and Wembanyama and Joker. It's just, there's just different. And I think they're going to run into a problem because, like you said, Anthony Edwards moves the needle, but he's also in Minnesota, and you've got to win. And I think that's going to be a problem for the league.
What markets are most important in basketball? Like what markets are most important for, like, they need to be good or they need to have a star? Or, like, I feel like LA. In baseball, L.A., what would you say, Chicago, Philly? Like, I feel like those
New
are...
York.
New York is another... So, I don't know. Are they continuing to hope Brunson continues to grow? It's like, okay, there's an American basketball player who is a college superstar and is here in New York, and we can build that way. But, yeah, I mean, it's Philly, it's Embiid. Even when you look at Los Angeles right now, they tried to get the Kawhi connection to work there. He's been hurt so much.
Mm-hmm. He's a personality.
I mean, honestly, if you were to talk about biggest markets that have American stars in basketball, Kyrie's going to be way up there.
I think we're past this. I hope. I'm going to say it out loud. It used to be dangerous to kind of admit this like 10 years ago. Was I the only one rooting for the United States to lose to Sudan on Saturday?
No. Not out of any sort of...
And I wasn't even... Amanda, like, looked at me like a traitor. She's like, why? Why? I'm like, it's not a patriotic pride thing. I want to see this 43-point underdog take out this group of have everything.
It's history. The game didn't count.
Yeah.
It's an exhibition, so wanting to see them win or lose just for the historical aspect of it, I mean, that's...
Well, here's the thing. I want them to beat everybody down by like 50 points.
Who?
The U.S. I want the U.S. to beat everybody down by 50 points, and they've gotten to a point now where when they play around as long as they did in that game... To me, it's like, all right, we're
down
at that
16.
It's 2004 again. You guys need to get punched in the mouth. You need to be off the podium, or what, they went bronze that year or whatever they got. And they ended up with the redeem team 4 years later. And you got Kobe going like, nope, we're playing practices where we're going to go really hard. And it was Mike Krzyzewski coaching them. And so I think they need that reset again. So
did you care
wake them up a little
about who won? Did you like... try to check out the final 3 minutes of this?
I didn't care who won necessarily. I do like to see them struggle because I think it's better for them, like, long term. But
LeBron's like, oh, that's what I wanted. Yeah. Gave me the real true test.
But it's, you know, games that don't count. I need stakes. You know, games that don't count, didn't count. It's an exhibition.
A qualifier, right?
No, this is just an exhibition.
Exhibition.
Oh, yeah, this is straight exhibition. As Steve Kerr called it, a friendly, because he's a Mr. European soccer guy. But... Bobby, you're on camera.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I thought I was still on that chair.
But I...
Did Peyton figure out the fan cam? Or is it Carter?
No, I figured it out. I just moved the camera over. I'm just so big brain like that.
Yeah, but, except for your prep.
Yeah. More on that 740. More on
that. Can't wait for that one. Yeah, it doesn't. I don't... Honestly, I don't really get into team Olympic sports. Much for the individual stuff. So it doesn't move me.
Like, the Dream Team had the success they intended, which is making basketball more of a global game, which it absolutely has done. And now you're at a point where, do they need a wake-up call, or is it just this is the reality of the global game that you've created?
I want to see how many bets got put in on South Sudan.
Oh, I bet you we could find that out.
To cover with the 43.5 points. The 43.5 points, and the United States needs the final seconds.
I thought he was joking, Peyton, when he sent that in the text the other day, that they were 43.5 point favorites. I was like, oh, okay, what was it really? And then I was like, oh, no, they really were that big.
The real UT has been officially named. A little college football kegger and a brand new giveaway for you turning it on, leaving it on. Sean and RJ next. Did you remember to wake up early to check out the conclusion of the British Open? Sean Shreve, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Bell with you. Xander Schauffele wins another major. The 30-year-old, 2 months after winning his first of the PGA Championship, added a second one yesterday at the 152nd Open Championship. And you said the golf course was the winner, Choppy?
Yeah, the golf course won. The weather of the golf course. The last time they played the British Open at this course, 20 under was the winning score. Minus 20. That was Henrik Stenson. It was not minus 20. It was beyond half that. It was less than half of that. It was 9 under. And it took a 65 on the final day to get there. Second place in 2016 was 17 under. It was 7 under here. The golf course definitely won. At least the weather did. Friday and Saturday, the weather was not great. It was not conducive to scoring. On Saturday, I mean, you had just a treacherous Saturday weather-wise. Rain, high wind. You saw guys hit driver on a par 3 that was like 230 yards. I mean, there were some very, very high scores on Saturday. In fact, almost everybody was in the 70s or higher. I mean, there's a handful of guys that weren't. The guys at the top of the leaderboard did not. And sometimes it's the luck of the draw and when you go out there and when you get to play. But yeah, I thought the golf course was the real victor, and that's not generally great for TV.
What would your either or scenario given sports fans total as a choice?
So you get to choose one. Like, obviously choosing what we had at the U.S. Open, I think, is the obvious, easy one. You have two megastars battling it out until the 18th hole. You had Bryson and Rory, right? Those are big time names in the golf world. Yeah, so both those guys were battling out. That's option one. But short of that, we had six guys within 3 strokes on number 9. When the leaders were on number 9, you had 6 guys within 3 strokes. Now, none of them were major names that the casual golf fan really knows.
Yeah.
So you get that, right? 6 guys within 3 strokes. Or you get a mega name at the top of the leaderboard. Scottie Scheffler, Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, whoever. But they've got a 3-stroke lead. There's really no drama down the stretch. Mm. Like, which would you rather have?
Because I have to admit, and my instinct ended up being right about baseball because they went themselves and made a lot of changes. I'm having a golf major crisis right now.
A major championship crisis?
Yes. Now, I think a lot of that could be blamed on myself for checking out like the final 6 holes versus the first 12.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that, I was like, I forgot. I was like, oh, the British Open
is
a
5-hour round too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not going to watch all of it. But I'm having a Bobby Belt, Kevin Hagelin-esque golf crisis in getting into the majors the way that I did.
Well, it's not Tiger. There's no Tiger. There's no Phil Mickelson for the most part. You know, like that's you. Now, there's big names in the sport. Like, you know, Brooks is a big name, but Brooks has not been in contention basically all year. He has not played great this year at the majors. Of course, obviously, Phil, you know, Rory had a good run at the U.S. Open, but Rory was terrible.
Yeah.
Bryson didn't show up in this thing. Dustin Johnson was not a factor, and he's old. And I think a lot of this has to do with, does it have anything to do with Liv? Does Liv play into this at all?
No. I don't know.
Does your lack of interest have anything to do with the whole fight between the two?
Nope, not at all. As long as I know the guys are there in the majors, I don't care. But I guess to answer your question, I would battle it out between two big dogs.
Well, yeah.
Versus having 6. Well, you're answering like it's a no-brainer. You pose the question.
Well, no. How about one big dog at the top and no contention? Like it was 6 guys within 2 or 3 strokes.
Oh,
or one guy with a 3-stroke lead the entire back 9.
Oh, one guy. Yeah, I'll take the six way. Yeah. I'll take the 6 way.
Look, I mean, I would have preferred for Scotty to really carry things forward, but obviously when he 3-putted from inside 7 and double bogeyed that hole, you know, on the back nine. And look, that's been the usual culprit with Scotty, right? Has been the putter.
Absolutely. What is Did he, this actually
What
happen?
Is he, 136th among all players in strokes gained? Putting and missed
that's
10
amazing.
Tries inside 10 feet.
Why can't you get into it with your obvious sarcastic
I just,
tone?
Like... Look, let's be. You need a. I would honestly.
Did you watch when Tiger was on fire?
Like when he. So when he won the Masters, what was that now? 5 years ago, whenever that was. I actually sat and watched golf all day on Sunday for the first time in my life, and that to me is why this sport does need like a dominant presence.
I agree.
If you don't have a so to me, I'm gonna need the guy with the 3-stroke lead who also had a 3-stroke lead the week before and the week before that. Like that's what's gonna. Be more likely to make me tune in.
They're really trying to push Scheffler because the year he's having is very reminiscent of Tiger Woods. Now, the problem with Scotty is he doesn't win anything but the Masters and regular tour events. Like, he doesn't win British Open and PGA and US Open. He just doesn't win them. But, I mean, he's going to win 6 Masters on the pace he's on right now. Like, he's on a tremendous Masters pace.
Now, that's kind of an interesting point. Not really truly interesting, kind of interesting from Bobby.
Ding yourself like 3 times there.
The sports, the sports that have to have a major personality.
Mm-hmm.
And is golf number one? What about boxing? Boxing has to go up there.
Yep.
As well.
UFC is similar.
We're about to find out with the NBA. Like, LeBron's about to retire. Steph is on his way out. Like they don't have a major personality.
Well, Anthony Edwards is a personality. Joker is not. Luka is not. Tatum can channel 5 different personalities.
Yeah, he can.
Whoever he watched the night before on YouTube. Who am I missing as next?
I mean,
stars?
The next up, I think that the league wants is Wembanyama. That's who they want to center everything around. Yeah. That's why they honestly. That's probably where that whole Jay Billis, Woj, that whole narrative they pushed of like. Biggest rookie ever. I mean, he's Kevin Durant on offense, and he's, you know, whoever they threw out
right.
on defense.
You're right, Wembanyama. Yeah, they've got to win. But, yeah, I think golf absolutely needs that. Because, you know, Tiger was not just great. He also was different.
Yeah, he didn't have a great personality.
No, he didn't. But
everything else around him was just so huge.
It was something, though...
That's the Perkins waitress.
Right, I know. He was just something that we had never seen. We never saw golfers.
A dominant black guy? Yeah.
Well, that, but also, like, no golfers didn't do the fist pumps he did.
Yeah, the emotion.
The emotion. He showed emotion like an athlete shows emotion. He had, it was like, you know.
You felt like his game was, he's going to hit it the farthest. This is a strength and a drive. That's at least what was in my mind. Like, I want to see Tiger Woods drive because this is a new athlete.
Here's a par 5. It's 320 yards of the hole, and he's out there hitting a 2-iron, 320. You know, golfers prior to Tiger, when they did something great, they would put their arms up and, like, be, like, happy, excited. And Tiger was, like, the angry, excited, like, athlete. You know how athletes, like, they get, you know, they
break a racket.
Yes, he was like angry, excited, and it was just different. We saw it. We never saw that before, and it was fun to watch. And then, obviously, he's the greatest golfer I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I never saw Jack play in his prime. I was barely alive. So that played into it, and I think they really are trying to make Scheffler, but Scheffler doesn't have the personality.
What was your NBA problem that you kind of brought up last week, an issue that they may have?
Well, the NBA, the problem they have is... all their best players are either in small markets or not from the United States. So Wembanyama, Anthony Edwards, Joker, Luka, Giannis. Moving forward, you don't have the superstar in a big market that's from the U.S. I really think that you need, in order to be a superstar in America, that most American sports fans want. They would gravitate more towards somebody from the U.S.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be just difficult. As great as Shohei is, you don't get to know him.
Yeah.
And the same thing, you know, with Luka. I mean, he doesn't play for your country in the Olympics. And Wembanyama and Joker. It's just, there's just different. And I think they're going to run into a problem because, like you said, Anthony Edwards moves the needle, but he's also in Minnesota. And you've got to win. And I think that's going to be a problem for the league.
What markets are most important in basketball? Like what markets are most important for, like, they need to be good or they need to have a star? Or, like, I feel like LA. In baseball, LA, what would you say, Chicago, Philly? Like, I feel like those
New
are
York.
New York is another. So I don't know. Are they continuing to hope Brunson continues to grow? It's like, okay, there's an American basketball player who was a college superstar and is here in New York, and we can build that way. But yeah, I mean, it's Philly, it's Embiid. Even when you look at Los Angeles right now, they tried to get the Kawhi connection to work there. He's been hurt so much.
Mm-hmm. He's a personality.
I mean, honestly, one of the, if you were to talk about biggest markets that have American stars in basketball, Kyrie's going to be way up there.
I think we're past this. I hope. I'm going to say it out loud. It used to be dangerous to kind of admit this like 10 years ago. Was I the only one rooting for the United States to lose to Sudan on Saturday?
No. Not out of any sort of...
And I wasn't even... Amanda, like, looked at me like a traitor. She's like, why? Why? I'm like, it's not a patriotic pride thing. I want to see this 43-point underdog take out this group of have everything.
It's history. The game didn't count.
Yeah.
It's an exhibition, so wanting to see them win or lose just for the historical aspect of it, I mean, that's...
Well, here's the thing. I want them to beat everybody down by like 50 points.
Who?
The U.S. I want the U.S. to beat everybody down by 50 points. And they've gotten to a point now where when they play around as long as they did in that game, to me, it's like, all right, we're
down
at that
16.
It's 2004 again. You guys need to get punched in the mouth. You need to be off the podium, or what, they went bronze that year or whatever they got. And they ended up with the Redeem team 4 years later. And you got Kobe going like, nope, we're playing practices where we're going to go really hard. And it was Mike Krzyzewski coaching them. And so I think they need that reset again. So
did you care,
wake them up a little,
about who won? Did you like try to check out the final 3 minutes of this?
I didn't care who won necessarily. I do like to see them struggle because I think it's better for them like long term. But
LeBron's like, oh, that's what I wanted. Yeah. Gave me the real true test.
Now, it's, you know, games that don't count. I need stakes. You know, games that don't count, didn't count. It's an exhibition.
A qualifier, right?
No, this is just an exhibition.
Oh, straight exhibition.
Oh, yeah, this is straight exhibition. As Steve Kerr called it, a friendly, because he's Mr. European soccer guy. But, Bobby, you're on camera.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I thought I was still on that chair.
But I...
Did Peyton figure out the fan cam? Or is it Carter?
No, I figured it out. I just moved the camera over. I'm just so big brain like that.
Yeah, but, so for your prep.
Yeah. More on that 740. More on
that. Can't wait for that one. It doesn't. I don't. Honestly, I don't really get into team Olympic sports much for the individual stuff. So it doesn't move me.
Look, the Dream Team had the success they intended, which is making basketball more of a global game, which it absolutely has done. And now you're at a point where, do they need a wake-up call, or is it just this is the reality of the global game that you've created?
I want to see how many bets got put in on South Sudan.
Oh, I bet you we could find that out.
To cover with the 43.5 points. The 43.5 points, and the United States needs the final seconds.
I thought he was joking, Peyton, when he sent that in the text the other day, that they were 43.5 point favorites. I was like, okay, what was it really? And then I was like, oh, no, they really were that big.
The Real UT has been officially named. A little college football kegger and a brand new giveaway for you turning it on, leaving it on. Sean and RJ next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality.
You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.